Let's face it, life isn't easy. If you're stuck in a bad relationship, betrayed or afraid of tomorrow, financially insecure or desperate for a breakthrough, you've come to the right place. Dr. Carmen Hara is a renowned psychologist, intuitive, relationship expert, and best-selling author, and she's here to give you the miracle guidance you need. Her new call-in show, Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, offers profound wisdom, practical advice, daily exercises, and empowering predictions, all for you. Dr. Hara's show aims to eliminate everyday problems, big and small, with topics like healing your relationships, reclaiming your power, achieving better health, dealing with loss, and so much more. Regain the joy, stability, and fulfillment you deserve to feel. Tune in to Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life with host Dr. Carmen Hara, live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, and find the answers you've been looking for.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Miracle Guidance for Everyday Life, a show that offers you guidance and the guidance that you need to transform your life. I'm Carmen Hara, and I'm live every Tuesday evening, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Om Time Radio. And tonight, my special guest is one of my dearest friends and colleague at A-House, Eldon Taylor. And I will tell you a lot about Eldon Taylor, and I will work with him, and you guys call in, because tonight both of us will try to help you, empower you to your full potential. But there's a million-dollar question. Why do you believe what you believe? Have you ever stopped to think about this? Most of us don't examine our thoughts on a daily basis. We go through hundreds of thoughts every day, and some of them positive and some of them negative. We don't try to dig to their origin or to alter them. We just assume that our beliefs are inherently a part of us, which is absolutely not true. We were not born into this world thinking a certain way. We weren't born in a certain religion, or when we were born, we didn't belong to a political party, talking about the election today. When we were little, we were not aware of our limitation, of our weaknesses, or of what we should or should not do. So these things were taught to us. We were indoctrinated into our minds. So almost everything that we hold to be true and correct was established pretty much by somebody else. And that's actually a pretty scary thought. So the reason it's scary is that what if the beliefs you are taught are harmful to you? What if they're not helpful to your growth? Or even worse, what if they actually the reason that you cannot actually reach your potential? So the wrong beliefs can be downright dangerous. From time to time, you change certain things in your life. You change, let's say, your home, you change your hairstyle, you change your wardrobe, you change your kid's school, you change the software in a computer, you even change your partner, you decide to divorce and find another partner. But what about changing your beliefs? What about updating and elevating the thoughts you think and the action you take on a daily basis? So it's like time to reevaluate all beliefs and to check whether they're still working in your favor or in reality working against you. So if you hold into outdated or detrimental beliefs, you'll end up sabotaging yourself. It's that simple. It's all too easy to undermine your dreams or hinder your own progress and not even know you're on that path. This is why it's so important to stop, to rethink, to re-strategize, and to go deeper, you know, to those layers of your mind and reprogram them. So can you imagine what life would be if you you are not sabotaging yourself, if you were working to clear subconscious blockages? What an incredible world it would be. Well, my amazing guest, which I mentioned to you from the beginning, he knows the inner working of the mind. He knows this like no one else. And I'm sure you heard of him because his name is Eldon Taylor, and he's a New York Times bestselling author who wrote over 20 books, Choices and Illusion, Mind Programming, What about that mean? Eldon is the author of 300 personal empowerment audio and video programs utilizing his patented and proven inner talk technology, an audio technology supporting chances that has been independently studied and proven effective in double-blind studies. He is also the host of this popular syndicated radio show, Provocative Enlightenment. More than 1 million people have viewed his weekly blog on YouTube, and I encourage you to learn so much about Dr. Taylor by visiting his website at eldontaylor.com. And I want to welcome my wonderful guest tonight, Dr. Eldon Taylor, and thank you so much for being my guest. It's just such a privilege and such an honor to have with me tonight.
It's indeed my honor, Carmen. I love what you do. I love how you do it. I'm always thrilled to join you.
Oh, I am so excited to have the show with you. And I'm going to start by, I mean, my audience, for sure, they all know you. But I'm going to start by asking you some questions that will make people understand better the kind of work that you do and how important it is. And I want you to kind of explain, my listener, what exactly is this self-sabotage? How people self-sabotage and how you define self-sabotage?
Sure, sure. That's an excellent place to begin. And the fact of the matter is we basically have two levels of self-sabotage. There's self-sabotage that's conscious and self-sabotage that's unconscious by way of their origin. But generally speaking, we say self-sabotage is behavior that creates problems as opposed to solves problems. It interferes with long-standing goals. The most common form of self-sabotaging behaviors are things like procrastination or self-medication, drugs and alcohol, eating excessively, forms of self-injury, etc. But those forms of self-sabotage we're aware of consciously. Not that there aren't unconscious motives underpinning them, but we're nevertheless aware of it. We're aware when we're procrastinating. We're aware when we're fearful of undertaking some task or some goal. We're aware when we say to ourselves, I'm just not good enough. But underlying that awareness is a subconscious motive. Additionally, however, there are unconscious forms of self-sabotage. We're simply not aware that what we are doing is self-sabotaging because it's driven by a mechanism, and that mechanism begins as a form of self-defense. If I may, let me share a story with you.
Okay, sure, absolutely.
When I was a boy, and this is by way of an example, so, when I was a boy, there was a television show, and I'm dating myself, called Hit Parade. Every Sunday, this show came on, and they played the 10, best tunes of the week. Well, there was a song called Vio con Dios. I loved the song.
I love the song too. Yeah.
I sang the song and sang the song. Everywhere I went, I sang the song. As a young kid, I didn't have any inhibitions. I'm like seven years old at the time, all right? So I sang it everywhere. Okay. Well, we had a family reunion, and it was up in Wyoming. And my mother's side of the family was very white-collar. They owned businesses, were in law. And my father's side of the family, very blue-collar.
Okay.
Logging, farming. And they didn't get along. So at a moment in my grandmother's home, it was a huge home with ceilings that were like, 20 feet high.
Wow.
Something like I'd never experienced, And in the middle of this room, with a quarrel about to get heated, my mother decided to interrupt things by setting me out in the middle and saying to these people, my son, sing Vio con Dios, son. All right, I started to sing it, Carmen, but my voice broke up. I was terrified, looking around. I ran out of the room. It was a horrible experience. I was humiliated. Okay. Years later, a friend of mine at the University of Utah, chair of the chemistry department and the honors program, asked me if I wouldn't share with his honors group some research we were doing at the Utah State Prison. And I told him, well, yeah, I guess so. Sure, not a problem. When is it? And he told me. I said, well, where are we meeting? And he said, Kingsbury Hall. Well, Kingsbury Hall holds about 1,200 people. It's a huge hall. And I said, why Kingsbury Hall, William? I mean, the honors group, as you know, they're usually a small group. 30 would be a large honors group for an honors meeting. But okay, so why Kingsbury Hall? Oh, Black Chemists of America are in. As you know, I'm president of Black Chemists of America. There's 900 of those members that I'd like to attend and listen to the work that you're doing. It's that intriguing. My stomach hit the floor. I have no understanding of why I suddenly was just terrified. I told him I'd do it. So, you know, I left his room that day, his office. I went away, and the day that it was supposed to come, I mean, I drove to the parking lot of Kingsbury Hall. I was shaking all over. Nobody knew the research better than I did. I mean, I set up the protocol. I had two people assisting, but it wasn't like they could ask me a question I didn't, you know, I wasn't versed in, or there was anything real for me to fear. But I was shaking all over. I finally got out of my car, took my sports coat off, threw it in the back seat, my long sleeve white shirt. I took the sleeves of the shirt and wrapped them around my tire. Okay, so now I had tire marks up the sleeves of my shirt. I got in my car, drove away. I called Bill, or had my secretary. I didn't have enough guts to call him myself. I had her call him and tell him I had a flat tire. And everybody in my office believed so because I had tire marks on my white shirt. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Serendipity comes along, and it's maybe a few months later, and a professional entertainer asked me if I could assist at all with performance anxiety. So we did a custom program utilizing that technology that you mentioned on the introduction.
Right.
At the top.
Yes.
Okay. It's a weekend. And I'm leaving my office on Friday night with this brand new program, just finished mastering it, and I'm headed down to a cabin I have reservations for, and so I just load up everything, I'll quality check it while I'm there, and off I go to the cabin. I get in, you know, it's late, I decide I'll listen to it, and I lay back on the bed, it's playing, and I'm looking at some paperwork, and I fall asleep, and I have a dream. Now, I have completely forgotten this incident that took place in Wyoming when I was like 7 years old.
Yes.
But in the dream, the experience is revivified. I dream exactly what happened. My eyes pop open. I sit up in bed.
Oh, well.
I look up at the ceiling because my mother's crossed over at that point. Say, hey, thanks, Mom. Thanks. Because the connection is obvious. The program I'm playing when I fall asleep is about performance anxiety. What terrified me at Kingsbury Hall was that experience that I had in Lander, Wyoming when I was 7 years old. And my unconscious made a defense, built a defense strategy. And that strategy was, you'll never be humiliated again. You'll never experience that again. And believe me, I never sang again. I still don't sing to this day. But it was that experience that had withheld me from the ability to communicate in front of a large group. Now, if I hadn't had that uncovering, my career would be entirely different than it is today. And in fact, I probably wouldn't be talking to you on the radio because I don't know how many folks you've got out there listening.
Yeah.
But if I were to think about it, it'd terrify me, you know?
So, it's incredible.
That's the kind of unconscious self-sabotaging mechanism we can have that we're unaware of. It's not like a procrastination. It's something that grips us. And
yes.
There are some that are even more subtle. There was a fellow that he didn't have the ability to smile or to laugh, and it became a problem
right.
in his later life with his relationships.
Right.
He went to marriage counseling. There they uncovered that when he was a young boy, he had been with a group of children, like in kindergarten or first grade, and something funny had happened, and, you know, he was ridiculed for the way he laughed. So he withheld that laughter. He long forgot about the incident. He just became rather stoic. So he was the wet blanket in all, you know, parties, and so it
right.
impinged on who wanted to invite him and kind of isolated
right.
him and his wife from it became a real problem. And for him, he didn't recognize that was indeed a problem at all, let alone understand what caused it. So that's what I mean by we have two levels. Okay, I know when I'm procrastinating, I really should be writing, and I'm not. I'm playing some silly video game like Civilization, okay? A little admission there. I know that that's self-sabotaging, but sometimes what we do, we're not aware that it's self-sabotaging. Nevertheless, it moves us away from the goals that we would like to obtain.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to be back with Elton Taylor on Home Time Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a minute.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos. A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
We are back, and we have such an interesting topic. And I was talking to Eldon Taylor, and he was explaining about the mechanism of the self-sabotage. And I'm going to continue my question to you, whether, because I question myself whether everybody has this self-sabotaging mechanism. Is this something that applies to everybody, generally speaking, or no?
No, the answer is yes, without a doubt. We
it does.
All
okay.
have self-destructive patterns, and
absolutely,
and we can discover those patterns. You know, I mean, so it isn't like it's hopeless. It's just that most people don't ever take the time to look and see what they are.
How can we discover? Probably that's one of the questions that a listener will ask you. How do you discover your own mechanism if it's so well hidden in the subconscious mind? Or how should you do to find it? How you work it out? How you bring it to your consciousness?
Well, let's take the patterns that we know are conscious. First of all, we recognize it's a pattern. You know, and a pattern
exactly,
is a repeated or regular way in which something happens or is done.
Right.
So
right.
we can look at our lives and say, let's go back to my life. I cannot tell you how many times I have taken the game by Sid Meier's called Civilization off my computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, this is like a chess game, but you're playing mm-hmm. against. All right. I take it off the computer because it's interfering with my focus, my work. I see the pattern. I'll get down the road. Maybe I've gone 6 months and I've just finished a program or a book or something, and okay, I can now put it back on my computer so I can play for a little bit. But you recognize a pattern because it's repeated. It's something you do on a regular basis. You know, there's a saying,
right.
neurons that fire together, wire together. Well,
right.
habits
right, exactly.
are built that way, and they include the good things that we do that are self-serving by way of helping us fulfill our dreams, as well
right.
as those things that intercept our authority towards gaining what we believe. So,
right.
consciously, we look at patterns. That's a pretty easy thing to do. If you're using food to assuage anxiety and continually going from one diet to another diet, hey, that's a self-destructive pattern.
Absolutely,
I'll give you one.
Yeah.
I'll give you
right.
one that most people fail to recognize, and they should see. We have done exit polls on motivational presentations. So you take the best motivational speakers, and as individuals leave their presentations, we poll them. What did you think of it? You know, so you get, you know, an Anthony Robbins or someone, and you're going to find that 9 in 10 mm-hmm. or more people that attended that seminar come out, rah, rah, this is the greatest thing in the world. I am absolutely going to change my life. It is just fantastic. Now, the same thing theoretically
right.
applies to books. How many people have read a book and it's just been inspiring and, oh, yeah, I'm going for that. I'm going to do that for sure. Now, what we find is that if we wait 30 days and then go back to those same people and ask them how many of them have actually used those tools, we find fewer
right.
than 10% have. Indeed, the most common answer we hear is, well, you know, I'm not sure that it really works for me. I've heard about this other seminar. I think I'm going to attend it. I'm going to look at how these two interface, which is a form of procrastination. There are literally folks addicted to a pattern of self-improvement. Meaning, instead of actually improving themselves, instead of actually following the steps, They bounce from one seminar to the next seminar to the next seminar to the next seminar without ever applying the tools or the techniques that are provided to them. Okay.
Right.
That, too, is a pattern. Anything we do that prevents us from making those forward steps. So one of my favorite questions.
So in actuality, we self-sabotage by creating patterns, the behavior that are self-destructive.
That's right. They are. Some of them can be very deceptive. We think, indeed, like in the self-help, that that's not a self-destructive pattern. We're actually working towards our aim. We're actually out there learning more and more and more. We're reading more and more books. But what are we doing with the knowledge that we gain from
with the knowledge?
How are
exactly.
we actually implementing that tool?
Implementing it is the problem, yes.
That's absolutely right. So somebody's listening to our radio show right now. Perhaps they recognize, oh, yeah, you know, I do have some of these patterns. Before the show's over, we're going to tell people how to change those patterns, okay?
Well, we want to invite probably some of the callers in, If you don't mind, we can take a caller or somebody to see in which way they relate to the topic, and I can identify their own pattern of behavior with the tendency of self-sabotage, and they were not even aware before. Because this show and the way you're explaining it opens people's mind to understanding what they are doing. And when you acknowledge something and become aware, there is a chance of breaking through the pattern of behavior. Don't you think so?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm sure you've seen clients that fit that pattern, Carmen.
Totally. Yeah.
But the important thing is, okay, the first step is we recognize the pattern. The second step is then that we do something about that pattern, that we consciously design an interdiction to alter that pattern.
Right, exactly. Now, I want to tell you, is this one of the reasons where people keep on doing the same mistake or the same old over and over again?
Well, that too.
Because of the pattern in itself, so you tend to repeat over and over?
Yeah. And the answer to that is yes. I mean, when you say same old, you know, I'm reminded of the many bumper stickers, "Thank God It's Friday," which is another way of saying, "My God, my week sucks. I can't wait to get away from my job," you know. The way we talk to ourselves is so informative. When we start looking for how do we make an uncovering, how do we understand we can have these unconscious motivations that are moving us in directions that we're really not even aware of, well, the best mirror on that is to listen to ourselves. It's how do we talk to ourselves, you know. In seminars, I very often like to illustrate that this way. I'll ask an audience, how many of you would like to make $1 million this year? Every hand in the audience invariably goes up, okay? So I say, all right, now understand that if you're going to make $1 million, you, one, have to believe that you can make that $1 million. Because I said make it, you know, not win it. So that means that, two, you're going to have to make some changes. I mean, maybe you have to mortgage your home. Maybe you have to sell it and take the capital to invest. Maybe you have to get an investor. You're going to have to write a business plan. You're going to have to develop some financial skills that you may not have. So I want you to stop now and think. And I want you to say to yourself sincerely, this year I'm going to make $1 million. Say it quietly, but so sincerely to yourself that you can believe it. And you know, I could look in the audience, see a third of them begin to grin, another third shaking their head in the negative, because when you say that to yourself, you'll get some backtalk, your own backtalk. And it may be something like, yeah, sure, what are you going to do, rob a bank? Because you don't believe that you can do that. You're not prepared to go to risk and try. So then, you now, know, how you might do, try. How
do
many
you create
you?
A belief?
Pardon?
Because people say, you're talking about the belief.
Yeah.
And I know we believe so. So how you create a belief? Because, you know, a lot of beliefs are implemented, as you know very well. But how do you create a new belief that will shift your perception into creating the new pattern, the new reality, into breaking through the self-sabotage? How you create that new belief?
Well, the first thing you have to do is amend the old. So you discover the old belief. Otherwise, you're going to be in a state of cognitive
yes.
dissonance, and a lot of people do that.
Yes.
You know, they create
right.
their affirmations. I love myself. But then when they say to themselves silently and quietly, I am a good person, they may get back, yeah, sure, good at what? Good for what? The bottom line comes down to this. We have to first reframe that old scripting. So let's take
right.
an example. You pull up behind somebody in a brand new convertible. You name it, a very expensive. Here's a fancy BMW convertible, top of the line, or Mercedes. You've always wanted one, and you look over there at that car and the dude or gal that's sitting inside. You think, I wonder what you did to get that car. You're probably just a dishonest person. Okay. You think about how many people look at someone that's successful and say to themselves, wow, that's for me. Bless you. I love it. That's for me. As opposed to look at that successful person and think, I wonder what you did. What, were you born with it? What a lucky stiff you are.
Okay, right.
If I just reframe that, if I just reframe it, and instead of being jealous that I see it, I go, wow, good for you. That's for me. I've all of a sudden changed that. Take the person that cuts us off in 5 o'clock traffic and we suddenly, you know, maybe giving them a finger gesture on the horn and yelling at them.
Right.
And we reframe that just a little bit. And instead of thinking, what a selfie son of a bee that
right,
person
right, right.
is.
Right.
We think instead, maybe there's a small child in the back seat that they're in a hurry to
right.
a hospital. Because if I
you
reframe
motivate,
it
yes.
that way, it changes my response. So the first
right.
thing I do is I begin to pay attention to how I talk to myself. What kinds of thoughts do I have? And the
right.
thoughts that I have that are not in my own best interest, they're not going to lead to my gain. They're angry, they're nasty, they're jealous,
right.
they're vengeful. They're
right.
Those thoughts are the ones that I need to reframe. If I don't reframe them, I can go on with affirmations till I'm blue in the face. The best I'm ever going to
yeah.
get at it is
exactly.
cognitive dissonance.
Exactly. Right, right, exactly. 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 If you don't mind, I'd love to take a caller. I think we have a lady called Dominguez who's waiting to talk to you. Hi, Dominguez.
Hi.
So Hi. You're listening to the show to my amazing guest, Eldon Taylor. And I wanna ask if you have any question to him tonight based on your own experience.
I self-sabotage every day. I pull my hair. I don't know when it comes out of the blue. I don't know what is behind it. Some people told me it might be alcohol that my mom took when she was pregnant. That got me stuck in past life, deep past life. There's something I cannot change. So it's just, so today I instead of pulling it, I put a product on it so I don't touch it while I'm on the radio. So that's one thing that I think is holding me back forever. Ever since I was 16, I think I started doing it. While I'm reading a book, I keep pulling my hair, pulling my hair. And I want to get over it. It's just, I'm giving up right now.
That's a condition that's, you know, technically called trichotillomania.
Exactly.
And,
Yeah.
And it's generally diagnosed as a mental disorder, and it's you know, there are many causes for it. It's a compulsive urge, and that compulsion can seem overwhelming. It very often is a result of abuse and or self-abuse, and it could well come, as you suggest, from, you know, your maturation process, the way you were raised and your family environment. There are, you know, negative emotions, obviously, that are associated with it, but the best thing that you can do is probably, you know, spend some time with Carmen. See her as a counselor. Get someone to actually sit down with you, because it's considered a chronic disorder. So it's not right. Something that you should, I mean, it's something that you should see a mental health professional about. I don't think it's something, it is a self-sabotaging mechanism. There's no question about that. Mm-hmm. But some emotional forms of distress really shouldn't be just plastic over. You really, and I don't want to be one that says, okay, well, if you do this, it'll go away, because there can be some very, you know, complicated issues underlying it. And so I'm sure Carmen would also suggest see a healthcare counselor. See Carmen. She can help you. She could help you over the phone, but it would require going into your personal life in ways you wouldn't want us to do publicly.
Right. Is there any other way in which you think you self-sabotage, Dominguez? Any other pattern of self-sabotage?
For instance, I feel like my life is going in order. I'm feeling bad. I'm losing weight. Everything's fine. I'm looking for a job now.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I get stuck doing it, and that can make me depressed, because I'll tell myself I won't be able to make it, go to work, have a normal life, because that's something
right.
that I shouldn't be doing in work or at all throughout the day. My day should be perfect. If I feel good, why I have to
right.
distract doing that.
That sounds more like a very common pattern that we can discuss
right.
after the...
We're going to go to a break. Hold on the line. We'll go to a break for 2 minutes. We'll be back in a second. Thank you so much.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life, a sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com, M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
I am Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo.
We were a loving family. And then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day.
People think that when you are a refugee and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at EmbraceRefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we are talking about the fact that our brain acts on habit and is programmed to operate in a certain way. So the more you think about something, the harder it is to get it out of your mind, because the neurons in your brain form clusters around your thoughts. And because of the increased traffic on those neural pathways, you'll continue to think the same thoughts over and over. And an obsessive thinking, it creates anxiety, which turns into depression, which feeds more that obsessive thinking. It's like a broken record. The same thoughts cause you to repeat the same action. Even if your thoughts tend towards your fear, your hatred, or revenge, you'll be caught in that unhealthy cycle. So most of us are not aware of what you are thinking. So that's why Eldon Taylor is with us today, and we are trying to help you understand the way the mind works and in which way, you know, you guys are sabotaging yourself. And because this is your calling show, feel free to call in 202-570-7057. And we were with Dominguez. So before the break, Dominguez, I was asking you whether you recognize any other pattern of self-sabotage in your life, and if you can say something about it.
The other one is relationship. Like, for instance, right now I'm in separation, process of divorce, trying to be positive if it's possible to meet another one. But then I have a daughter, and I'm sabotaging what kind of man I should bring to disrespect my daughter. So there's a big deal that is affecting me and my husband and his father, because it's almost like I feel it's triggering relationship with my daughter now. Almost is trying to become distant to see her. So that's something that I don't know how to get over it, because it's there. It's just, it's a wall, big wall.
It's because a wall. I'm going to ask Eldon Taylor to give you an advice here.
Okay. Before the break, you defined that, Dominguez, as you wanted to go to work, you wanted to get a job, you wanted to start success, da-da-da-da-da-da. But you just weren't actually able to get out there and do that. So there's two parts here. The first part, it's easy to look at as a fear of failure or a fear of success. And more likely, indeed, because of what you just revealed, the divorce, it's probably a fear of failure. And there are some very definite things that you can do where fear of failure is concerned. And I would suggest three things. The first one is, whenever we do anything, we get a benefit out of it, okay? Now, that may sound crazy, but you can get the flu and be home in bed watching television or reading your favorite books and getting paid sick pay, and the flu is miserable, but what was the benefit? There's always a benefit involved to everything that we do. So the first thing I would suggest is, you know, you sit down and you look at what is the benefit that I am gaining from my fears. Maybe you discover that, well, because I didn't go to this appointment or because I stayed home, I was able to do XYZ. But whatever the benefits are, write down what the benefits are for the fear or the procrastination of not becoming involved in executing the plans that you have, going out, looking for that job, putting in those applications, believing in yourself enough to do it. What kind of self-talk is it that goes through your head that prevents you, that mitigating voice that says, well, you know, maybe tomorrow, you just don't, you're not feeling good today. You're still grieving the loss of the marriage. You still feel the pain. And I just, you know, I'm just not ready to go out there and engage with any enthusiasm. Whatever, you know. Secondly, then, look at how you're talking to yourself and reframe that dialogue so that you can begin to feel more positive about engaging. And then understand this. As Dr. Hera was saying, coming back from the break, this circularity, we go round and round, we just do it more. We actually have a reward center in the brain that will reward you every time you're right. So if your expectation is, I'm not going to get that job, and you don't get the job, you're rewarded. Understand that. So there is this servo-auto mechanism in the brain that is literally bathing you with neurochemicals, reward chemicals, for every time you expect to fail and you fail. So you become, I mean, that becomes a habit. So every time you get up and you say you're going to do this, and then you don't do it, and then you say, well, I knew I wasn't going to do it, you have really wired together neurologically a pattern that you want to stop, regardless of what you need to do, well, almost regardless of what you need to do to stop it. So tomorrow or the next day, whenever you say, I am going to go look for a job, I am going to go for this interview, I am going to make some phone calls, I am going to write a resume, make sure you do it. Because otherwise you're making the conscious choice to hardwire a self-defeating pattern that you won't escape. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the second part, I see that as a grieving part. You feel pain and anxiety and probably frustration. You have been betrayed in ways. Your hopes and your dreams have been altered, changed, abused. That's a normal part of a separation process, and it's okay to grieve. Treat yourself kindly and allow yourself the space to grieve. Allow yourself, you know, what's necessary to let go of that relationship and all that was involved in it in love so that you can go on. There are two ways to get tied up in the world, Demikas.
Yes.
One is somebody physically ties you up. You're restrained. The other is to hold on to a belief that is self-destructive.
So true.
Because by doing so, it's essentially tying a thread to a doorknob and refusing to pull the thread hard enough to break it or to let go of it. You are tethered there, and there is no belief that will tether you more than blame. If you learn to forgive, if you forgive, you're no longer a victim. As long as you're a victim, the world acted on you. And what else could you do? It wasn't my fault. I was a victim. And in that place, right, I cannot move forward. I cannot change my life. So what I have to do for my own self-interest is forgive. Let go. Because now I'm not a victim anymore. I'm not in charge of all the circumstances that the world or people might bring to my doorway, but I am in charge of how I respond. And you're now in that place where you can change the context and respond differently. You can let it go, and it will not control you tomorrow. I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Does it? It should. It's very well explained, extremely. Probably nobody has ever done it before. So try to remember this and listen again to the show, because this is going to help you tremendously, Dominguez. Do you feel this way?
Yeah. It makes sense, because let it go today, right now, it won't control it tomorrow. And that means...
Right. You remove, you detach. From it, you know, the detachment is going to free you. So this is key. So I suggest you listen again, because it was so well explained and so complex and so powerfully done. I just cannot thank enough Eldon Taylor for doing it so that you can benefit from it, because I know you will. And you can actually read Eldon Taylor's books, and he has so many books, so many. So will you tell our listener, if they want to buy your products, where can they find your audio tapes, your books, your... Just give us a little bit for the listener. Where can they find everything about you, Eldon?
Okay, and I appreciate that. Thanks very much. But first, Dr. Hara, let me say to Dominguez, do contact a counselor. Do call Dr. Hara about the hair pulling. And spend some time invested in yourself, Dominguez. That you deserve that, and I wish you the very best. Thanks for calling in. Okay,
Thank you. People can
learn more about
Thank
me,
Dominguez.
Dr. Hara, or get my books and programs by going to Eldon Taylor. That's ELDONTAYLOR, EldonTaylor.com. That's the best place. And for questions of the kind that we have been dealing with, for self-sabotage and its related areas, my book, Choices and Illusions, is the best place to go. Because it generally lays out how we got into a place where we are self-sabotaging, or as you pointed out at the top of the show, we have all these beliefs that are false to fact or are not self-serving,
right,
or, beliefs that confine our ability to maximize our true potential. And liberation from those beliefs, that's going to be absolutely necessary for you, every listener out there, to enjoy the cornucopia of possibilities that this great country and their natural talents provide.
Right.
And I want to see everybody, as I know you do, succeed.
Of course.
Succeed at all levels, in relationships, in love and family, in prosperity, in all areas, to become and appreciate what a wonderful world life is and the gift that life truly is to all of us.
And tell us a little bit about your radio show, because I want people to listen to your radio show. When can they listen and where? Because all this amazing teaching, all this extraordinary work that you do for all of us, can be heard, and people probably can be in touch with you through the show too, through the radio show, no?
Oh, well, thank you again very much, Dr. Hara. My show is on KKNW, 1120 AM, on your dial if you're in the Seattle, King County area of Washington, of course. It goes out across the World Wide Web, so you can go to kknw.com,
right,
or you can go to provocativeenlightenment.com, and there you can get a player and or access our archives. The show is all about provocative conversations on anything and everything affecting how we view ourselves, the human condition. So we cover everything from the latest science, artificial intelligence, cloning human beings, to the deepest metaphysical,
love that topic,
mystical kinds of subjects. And we have had the greatest guests. I mean, I'm very proud that we almost always have a professor on the show, and they almost always are considered the most prominent people in their fields. And it is genuinely an opportunity. I think of it as a round table to sit down with the wisest, brightest people, leading edge people, and have a conversation and ask them the kinds of questions that you can't get from them in any other ordinary way.
Pretty remarkable. I cannot thank you enough for being my guest, and I would love to invite you again whenever you have time. And also, for all our listeners, go to EldonTaylor.com and buy his amazing books, listen to the radio show, inform yourself, and benefit from this amazing work that Eldon Taylor has been done for a lifetime to help us understand better the way we function, the way we think, What can we change about ourselves, you know, to change our life around? And one last question. Do you have any events coming that people can attend? Any seminars that people can go to?
You know, I am finally through traveling for the year, Dr. Hera. This has been a crazy traveling year for me. The States all over, Europe all over. I am looking forward to staying home now.
To stay home, okay.
Probably until March of next year. So, yeah, join me on the radio show.
So you on the show.
Subscribe
and
to
as
my
of
blog
next year in the spring, yes. So that is so wonderful. You need to take a break. I mean, everybody, this time of the year, traveling is more difficult. So actually, I think that you're doing the best to stay home right now. And you can help and inform people through the show and through your books. And there will be probably a book coming within another year. You keep on your amazing work. We love you, Eldon Taylor. We appreciate you. We are very grateful here at Home Time Radio, me and Christopher. We thank you so much for being our extraordinary guest today. And I'm Carmen Hara. I'll be with you next week.
Thank you.
I love you a million times. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. And I'll be with you guys next Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Home Time Radio. Thank you for listening.